Well, I wanted this to be a live broadcast so that there was no getting away from the reality of the situation, but I can't get the technology to work. I'm not sure what the reason for that is. So I want to consider the Uvalde shooting, an event which has shocked to the core many people, a terrible event, a tragic event in Texas a couple of days ago when many school children were shot, 19 were killed. Two teachers were also shot dead, and one of the husbands of those teachers also has died of a heart attack since then. These are intense, terrible tragedies. These are events which shock the whole world. These are events which make people examine and think about the state of the world, our own state, and very often they're events that make people consider God. Our great sorrow and our great desire for comfort to the families of those who were killed goes out. We are very, very sad that this has happened. Father, we pray for these, the families of these who have been killed. We pray, Lord, that they would seek you and find you, that they would call on you and that you would hear their cries, and that they'd find you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is able to comfort us in all our afflictions, that he loves us, that he is full of mercy and loving kindness. And we pray, Father, that they might find what we have found, someone who is a succor, someone who is a help in the very darkest of times, the greatest of crises. Father, we are full of horror at what has happened. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Uvalde situation is clearly a horrible and a terrible crisis, which has shocked the United States and many places beyond. And so many people will ask at such a time as this, why did this happen? Why couldn't it be stopped? For example, if we simply banned guns, maybe there is the fact that guns are so freely available. And as soon as a tragedy, a crisis like this occurs, we find people jumping on political bandwagons. But we need to remember that this happened, that this was real, that children died, that teachers died, and that many people who are involved in this crisis and who are affected by it are grieving and mourning. Some of those will be our brothers and sisters in Christ too. Lord, have mercy upon them and help them at this time. This is not without precedent. It's happened before in different situations in the United States. It's happened recently. Sadly, this probably won't be the last time such a thing happens. In the United Kingdom, it happened in 1996 in Dunblane in Scotland. And in Scotland, a certain man whose name I won't say because the name of the wicked shall rot, went to a primary school and shot dead 16 children and one teacher, and then shot himself dead. Now, I remember that the whole nation was full of grief at that time, mourning because of what had happened in Dunblane. And I remember that 2 years after that, I was driving past Dunblane in my car, just driving past, and I couldn't stop crying because of what had happened, because of the thought of what had happened there, the great grief and the great tragedy of these poor innocent children being shot dead. In the UK, there have been other crises, such as the Aberfan disaster. The Aberfan disaster, which killed more than 100 children in the 1960s, when a coal tip slid down a mountainside without warning and engulfed an entire school. It was said that in that village, an entire generation was wiped out in an instant. And you can look this up, for example, on YouTube and see documentaries on what happened and the terrible tragedy that occurred there. People saying, why didn't God stop this? Why didn't God do something about it? And then there's calls, of course, straight away for the gun lobby to be abolished, everybody to be disarmed. But in Dunblane, of course, in the United Kingdom, we don't have freely available weapons. We don't have guns. We don't have a law which says we can carry these. This is not a message about gun control or freedom to carry guns. The only thing I would note is that people very often blame guns for these tragedies. In Russia, of course, we have many reports now of Russia bombarding primary schools, theatres, places like that, where we were told that many people, including women and children, were sheltering, not just combatants, and that they were killed. We have been subjected to a lot of propaganda, so we don't know what's true and what's not, but we know the world is full of tragedy. We know that throughout history, great atrocities have been committed against innocent people. And this is what's happened in Uvalde and other places in the United States. And we're told that guns are responsible for this, and if we didn't have guns. But we're not looking to the very heart and root of the matter. The root of the matter is that we are sinners, and we've forgotten God, and we've rejected God. We want to avoid all the problems that come with sin, with evil, with wrongdoing in our hearts, and we want to get away from God. We want to have paradise and peace without God. We believe that we can have all of these things, but we will not have God to reign over us. No one talks about repentance. The United States is a nation that needs to repent. The United States is a nation that has rejected God, a nation that has blasphemed God, a nation that is heading as fast and as far as it can from the knowledge of God, except of course they will invoke him and bring him on board when they want to blame him for things that go wrong. Now, whether or not gun control would make any difference in this situation, there are those who argue that throughout history, whenever the governments have removed people's weapons, then they have committed far greater atrocities against the people, because the people are no longer able to resist corrupt rulers. But leaving that argument aside, whether or not gun control is something which should be considered, repentance is something that must be considered. The repentance of every man, woman and child, such as in Nineveh, when God said to Nineveh, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Even the king put sackcloth on and repented before God. What a generation we live in. Every single day in America, children will be killed in our hospitals, in hospitals there. And nobody will say, God sees this. And then they'll say, why didn't God stop this atrocity? Now, as regards, for example, Dunblane, I was living in Wales at the time, about to move to Scotland, to Aberdeen. And at that time, everywhere throughout the country, there were huge billboards with advertisements for a film. The film was Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. And it showed Vinnie Jones, I think it was Vinnie Jones, and Ewan McGregor holding rifles. Not rifles, holding shotguns. And there was something entertaining about this. And there was something that was supposed to be desirable, that we could live our lives in such a fantasy world and go to the cinema and see such a movie. And the thing was that nobody mentioned this at the time, that throughout the United Kingdom there were pictures of theatrical criminals, thugs, bearing rifles everywhere, giant photographs, giant pictures up. And yet the nation was in mourning over the death of 16 children who were shot dead, and one teacher by a man whose name I won't mention, because the name of the wicked shall rot. And we don't see that we have responsibility, that we all have responsibility before God. We don't see that. God is not the one who caused these accidents. In Aberfan, it was known that many people had complained about the danger to the school of the coal tip, and yet the authorities hadn't listened. If you look up the information online, you find that the families of those children who died then were treated appallingly by the government and by the coal board at that time. It seems tragedies are tragedies, but nobody wants to take responsibility in the long run. And we blame it on God, and we say it's his fault. Again, in Aberfan, we find that 1 year afterwards, 1 year after the Aberfan disaster, we read in Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones' biography by Ian Murray that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was asked to come and preach the memorial 1 year on. I can't imagine a more difficult sermon to have to preach to all those grieving families 1 year on. Understand, because this hasn't happened to me, that if you've had some terrible family tragedy, an anniversary can be a very difficult time. And Lloyd-Jones was asked to preach at Aberfan, and that message wasn't recorded. And I haven't been able to find any record anywhere of what was actually said. What did Lloyd-Jones say? I often wonder, what would Lloyd-Jones say in that situation? What could a gospel preacher say? But it was reported that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones' words were full of comfort to the people there, and they were helpful. When tragedy strikes, we shouldn't forget God. We should turn to God. When tragedy comes and innocent children die, and innocent teachers die, and they're cut short, we should turn to God. We should turn to the God who is the God of all comfort, the God of heaven and earth, the God who is able to help us. We may never understand why, but we may be comforted by the living God, the true and living God. And of course, we come to God through Jesus Christ. But as a nation, we need to repent. We say, why did these things happen? Why didn't God stop it? But we will not repent. We continue in our violent, vile, corrupt, foolish, terrible entertainments, godless entertainments. And then we say we don't believe in God. And then when tragedies come along, the God we don't believe in, we blame him for those things. Yet he is the God of all comfort. He is the God of truth, as opposed to all those fantasies. All of us are sinners. But for the restraints of God, any of us could commit any atrocity. That's how bad sin is. And if we haven't done those things, we still need to repent for our sins and turn and believe on the Lord Jesus. That's the answer. Criminals will always have guns. We need to repent. We need to turn. We need God's help. Righteousness exalteth a nation, the Bible says. Now in Aberfan this year, I was considering the question of Welsh chapels. Some of you will have been aware, you'll have heard what I've had to say about Welsh chapels, and the desire to see those chapels restored to use, a very big task, which only God can accomplish by raising up people to take it on. But in Aberfan, so many years later, there is a church, and that church closed down. But the good news is that that church is about to be reopened. A church has taken it on as a church plant. They've repaired the building, and they're hoping to open it very soon. This is very good news, because we must, as Christians, be able to take the gospel to those who are in pain, those who are suffering intense tragedy. We mustn't be absent at those times. We must be there. We must share grief. We must walk alongside those who are suffering. And we must be salt and light in those situations. So I thank God that someone has come along and is reopening that church in Aberfan with a desire to show the love of God to that village and that situation. Now, how does God understand us? How does he comfort us in this situation? I'm going to read one verse from the Bible, and this is in Psalm 22, and this is a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion and Jesus' words on the gospel. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, complained that God the Father was nowhere to be found. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was God's delight. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had from eternal ages been in close, in absolute, complete union with God, because Jesus Christ is God. Because he's the second person of the Holy Trinity, yet on that cross he was forsaken by his Father. And in Isaiah 53, we even read, it pleased the Lord to smite him. The Lord Jesus was forsaken by his Father. His Father had to forsake him, because the Lord Jesus Christ had become sin for us. He had become sin to take away our sins, to bear the punishment for our sins, to make a sacrifice for our sins. And as he bore sin on that cross, he became unimaginably vile and filthy in the eyes of his Father, and his Father turned away from him. God the Father and God the Son knew this would happen. Yet this was not something that had ever before been experienced. by the eternal God. Now, we can't enter into the mysteries of what happened then. And some will say God only forsook him for a season. God forsaken by God. We can't understand that. But in that period of time when Jesus was forsaken by his Father, there was an infinity of suffering, an infinity of agony, an infinity of torment, an infinity of grief. All for our sins. We can say that God the Father knows what it's like to lose a son. No one can comfort us in our afflictions, in our sorrows, in our intense, agonizing torments of grief, like the true and living God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of comforters, and yet he's the last person that we seek. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek his comfort, seek his mercy, seek his goodness, seek his salvation. Turn from your sins and seek the Saviour who was forsaken by his Father so that he could save us from our sins. Come to the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Father, we pray and we ask that you would have mercy on the United States, upon the United Kingdom. We pray that there would be an awakening once more, that men would see that simply getting rid of guns won't change men's hearts, won't change people's hearts, and that it's the heart of man that's the problem. It's sin, it's evil, it's corruption, which proceeds from the heart of man. And Father, we pray that people would come to the only remedy, the only solution, that they would find the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord God, thank you that we can bring our hard questions to you. We can say, why did this happen? But we can also have extremely great confidence that we can trust you with the answer to those questions. Father, we know that you know our sufferings. Lord Jesus, we know that you know our sufferings. Father, we pray that we might follow Jesus, and we pray that the world might see that we care, that we love our neighbours, Lord, and strive to do so as ourselves. And Father, we just pray again that you would have mercy upon the people of Uvalde in Texas. And we pray, Lord, that there would be an awakening in the nation, that there would be a turning back to God, that there would be a putting away of evil, there would be a lifting up of the standards of righteousness. And oh Lord, that righteousness would prevail once more. So Father, forgive us for our sins. Glorify your Son Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Have mercy upon us, we ask, in his precious name. Amen. Amen.